Good to see everybody here. And we have a new visitor today who's getting to know over there. So please be sure to say hello to at some point. So our opening hymn is in your insert, "Oh, to Be Nearer." And this is another one I think Chris found. It's words by Fanny Crosby, who of course has written hundreds and hundreds of hymns.
Thousands
of hymns. So this is another one of hers. And even though it's not in our hymn book, it's appropriate to today's topic, so we'll sing it. And we'll play the whole thing down once, and then we'll sing.
We'll have communion next Sunday, and we're going to have a short administration meeting right after church today, and we'll just hold it up here. One subject we want to discuss, and it doesn't have to take very long. Before we sing, are there any other announcements?
I'm her little bird messenger. But, you know, good little Christian sister that volunteers several days a week at Bennington, running down the halls in her wheelchair, delivering mail, she does bingo, she just does a lot for the activities. And, and she's one of the supervisors. They're taking 13 residents to the zoo. And with their discount, it's still $25 a person. So if anyone would feel it in their heart to help with a little donation, you can see her after church. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. That's your call, and I think you do a wonderful job at it.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I had another one. Next. just a reminder, I mentioned it last week, there's some gospel music at Harmony Chapel tonight at 7.
And I've got one on group missions.
Okay.
Moore County Group Missions. Camp starts in about 7 weeks, so we're starting to really gear up. That's why I'm sweating back there. 64. 61.
No kidding.
Yee.
Wow.
So we have about 240 kids showing up at Mount Gilead High School on June the 14th. We have 40 projects at 30 different locations lined up to entertain these kids. To do that, we need about $30,000 to buy the materials that the kids will hopefully apply to the homes involved. We're still, we being group missions, are still a couple $1,000s short of our target there to be able to buy all this stuff. Part of the effort there is they're doing a fundraiser at Pizzaburg over in Mount Gilead tomorrow, Monday. I think it runs from 4 to 7 p.m. They've been blessed with a matching gift. So whatever if you go over there and enjoy a pizza, and it's takeout only because Pizzaburg is normally closed on a Monday. But if you do enjoy a pizza from there, a portion of the proceeds, basically all of the profit of that, Pizzaburg will donate that to group missions, and group missions has a matching donor who will double that. So this is an opportunity to double your impact for group missions, and again, it's a real good cause. It's going to help an awful lot of people in the county. We'll talk about this more in terms of our church role at the admin board, but there's a couple of projects that are very close to home here that we might be able to help out with. But again, the whole thing needs a little boost financially to be able to do what they're hoping to do with these 240 kids that are paid $500 each to come help, which is a beautiful thing in its own right. And they do praise and worship first thing in the morning, and again in the evening. Everybody's welcome at Mount Gilead High School in the morning and evening to join the praise and worship, and it's going to be quite a show. They also have a wonderful 15-year-old kid from Alabama who's been on national TV as a performer Saturday or Wednesday afternoon. I think it's from 4 to 5 on Wednesday. So there's a lot of fun stuff happening that week. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks in advance for anything you can do.
You guys talk to Mike Schnell. Any other announcements? I realize when we sing to you, you have to go home and sing this too.
That'd be all right.
Yeah,
that would kind of fit into
I'm
working on a project.
Okay.
That'd
work
out well.
You'll end up with a hug and a kiss, right? How many?
That's what you want to share. We get married. We don't know how long it'll be. And we're always reminded to make sure that person is the person. And they're God's name. And she was. She is. 50 years on the 30th.
Is that right? Great.
That's awesome.
She does. Woohoo!
Yeah.
We met when we were kids. She was with me in my time in the military. She's good at numbers, but she isn't like really out there. So several of my lady friends I received not long ago in National War, and she was there, and kind of some of the female investigators went over. The question was, how in the world do you put up with such a wall? Yeah, this is coming to me third hand.
I can understand that.
Okay, I'm trying to figure it out. So she said, it's quite simple, the number 8. She told me that, and I said, how's 8 going to 50? And the two dolls, the square root is an 8. And they said, how is that?
Like she John said,
you buy a house 8 hours a day to sleep, shower and eat. Those other 16, I don't care where he's at, but it ain't in my house. So that's the success of 50 years. Five decades.
Totally different, but I have a question. You guys are going to seem just the most involved with me. I am had a really hard childhood, a really hard life, but I was blessed with two of the most wonderful parents ever. My father was an associate minister, an elder, a song leader at my church. But that had one of the most beautiful voices in the world. His favorite songs.
Oh, great.
And he used to love, he had the silly sense of humor. And he used to sing, when he would sing just a closer walk with me, when I learned to play guitar, he'd go, honk, 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 honk. So don't laugh at me because I'm really good. And if you guys can do it too, and I'm going to cry. Today is the day my father died 31 years ago. And I'm going to go from here to the cemetery. He died on my honeymoon.
Wow.
We got married in the church, but we buried him a week later. That's, you know, a week later. And it was a tough day. He was my hero. He cared for me. So I said in his eulogy, I will ask the person who was on me. And we haven't made it yet. So. You guys go plonk a plonk, but just a close walk with me when you think of my day. Just so you know. So do it and laugh, because my dad did it and he did all this. He would laugh so hard, he'd probably would jiggle and tears would run down his face.
With a joyful attitude. Okay, you got your orders?
Okay. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
God bless
you. You have something?
Yeah. You'll notice on the announcements, I put that some people have voiced a desire to stand while singing the hymns, so if you're able and would like to, please stand while we're singing.
Feel free to do so.
It will sound better.
Feel free to do so. I don't know about that one.
Sound louder. Loud, better.
Oh, okay. Very good. Please join me for prayer for invocation. God the Father, thank you for bringing us another beautiful day. The people that you have brought here today as we worship you. We ask that your words today would be coming through Pastor David, that his words would be your words that are meant for us today. Be with our country. Help us unite as we move forward in faith and believers. We need you to be a part as we try to unite our country again. We pray that everyone who leave here today having received a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Call to worship is on your insert. Brothers and sisters, the Lord, who is our master in heaven, calls us to live justly and prayerfully before him. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for open doors, for the mystery of Christ to be proclaimed clearly.
We fix our hearts on you, Lord. Make us watchful, grateful, and bold in prayer.
Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt.
Lord, fill our lives with your wisdom and grace. Teach us to walk wisely, speak graciously, and answer everyone with the truth of Christ.
Come now, let us worship the risen Lord who sets us free to live for his glory in justice, in prayer, in witness, and in grace.
We worship you, Lord, with our hearts loaded, lips full of grace, and lives ready to proclaim your name. Amen.
Father, Son, and Father, we invite you here this morning. We thank you for all you have done for us. We thank you for who you are and who we are in you. We ask that you accept the small token of our gifts and tithes back to you for your purpose and for your kingdom. We ask that you multiply these funds, keep us ever mindful as to their proper use. Place before us the opportunities to use these monies for your glory and for your kingdom. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Got to push the
concerns button. And praises. Prayers from anyone? How's your relatives?
Doing very well, thank you. I'm afraid my grandson-in-law has gone by and gone away, but he's coping very well. Never complains.
Okay, we hadn't had an update for a while, so check on them. We've had on our list for a while. She passed away last week. So she's on your prayer list also.
My friend, she starts her radiation, and I will get my schedule made this for one day if I get to drive her to radiation. They refuse to do any kind of surgery on her breast because they found out she did have cancer still in her. So she will be doing radiation for several months, and then a year later, they most likely will go ahead and do a complete mastectomy. So that's all we know at this point for her. Strokes have managed to stop at this point, and we believe the Ritalin that they were using to keep her awake passed away. So that would be Butcher's first cousin. And that's the end of her family. They're all gone.
I have a dear friend passed away, and so I want prayers for his family. It was unexpected, so the children are really having a hard time in his life.
Was a customer of mine where I was at, and he'd say, what is it, the same, they were both numbers there. Ought to be, my thoughts this morning was, ought to be prayers and concerns and praises. This last week was quite eventful for me. I ended up going and picking up two friends and coming back with part of their stuff to move up here. It's been on the prayer list for a while, and he has COPD and he's in hospice care now up here. And it was also on the prayer list. It's been a challenge for her moving up here. Hopefully now things will get settled down. Praises for safe travels down and back.
Prayers for our government and our troops.
Was a shooting last night at the president or at
least that unrest. Okay. Good prayer, Pastor.
All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, where we are grateful for who you are. We are grateful for the gifts that you give us, the ability to come and to worship with you, worship for you, pray to you. And God, we know the importance of prayer. It is the subject of my message this morning. All we have to do is sit and share with one another the problems, the voids in our families that are occurring because of death, the struggles that we are having with one another, with our government, with our neighbors. God, I just want to lift up all of these conditions all of these situations to you. Our time is finite, and so to stand and to speak of each and every issue and each and every problem and concern that we are worried about and we are struggling with, unfortunately, we don't have the time. But the one thing that we have to remember is that our ability to eloquently and adequately pray is not because of you. You know all things, you see all things, you hear all things. We come to you in prayer for ourselves. We ask that you are with all of her friends and relatives this day who are struggling medically, who are remembering lost ones. Give them your peace, your comfort. We do praise you that family is doing well. It was a long walk, a long journey for them. And we thank you for your faithfulness and their care. And God, we just ask that you're with the family and the family as they mourn the loss of their family members. With the family as well. We all know that mourning is an awful process. But in that morning, I pray that it pulls us closer to you. To feel your embrace, to feel your encouragement and your love, and your tenderness. We pray that all who have passed were your children. We pray that their names were written in your book. And that whatever heaven looks like, whatever the process that you have laid out for us to inherit eternity, we will see these loved ones again in some form, in some fashion, in some manner. And in the meantime, fill the void of the emptiness of their loss with your love and your spirit. And God, I just, again, lift up our society. It seems like things can't get worse, and yet here we are again. Another disturbed individual trying to kill and maim. For those individuals that can be helped with mental care, we just ask that, God, you figure this out for us. Provide those people to intervene on your behalf. And in the meantime, we just ask for your safety. For our government officials, for our representatives, for our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, our enemies, first responders, police, EMT and fire, and our troops. God, we just ask that you take control. We are a group of miserable failures, and it's only through your love, your cooperation, that we have any hope, that we have any ability to do good. to do right, to do loving. And God, especially this morning, I ask that you're with us as we recite that prayer that you have given us. That prayer that just seems to become more and more important each and every passing day. Be with us as we share it together this morning, and be with us as we keep it in our hearts throughout the rest of the week. Speak to us when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And our prayer hymn today is in your hymn book, 472, Near to the Heart of God. And I love what the refrain tells us, that the best place we can be is actually near to the heart of God. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. So we'll play it down once, and then we'll sing together.
Feel free to stand if you'd like. Scripture reading comes from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, So you cannot stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away for the second time and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came to find them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
C.S. Lewis comments, The refused prayer of Christ in Gethsemane is one I don't have an answer for. I have seen many striking answers to prayer, and more than one that I thought miraculous. This is a mystery, that even if I had the power, I might not have the courage to explore it. Our message today, draw nearer to God's heart.
Well, here we are this morning. I don't quite understand the heaviness of this message. On my fancy new tablet, I've got an abundance of words. The scripture that I have in the bulletin is Colossians 4, 1 through 6. While all of that is important, I really want to look at Colossians 4, verse 2. And it simply says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When you go through seminary, one of the guarantees that you will do in life is pray. Thankfully, at least the seminary that I attended, it was something that was of utmost importance to those who were going through the program. And we had some professors that were magical in their prayer life and the prayers that they would recite for us and with us. And the Colossians 4 themes are primarily prayer and evangelism, Christian conduct, fellowship and encouragement, and the importance of the local church. And I find that those subjects grouped together in one chapter is extremely meaningful. Starting with prayer and ending with the importance of the local church. Tammy and I spent most of our lives in a church down in Westerville. Had Presbyterian on the sign, but didn't really feel like a Presbyterian church. The pastor was the youth pastor at the Presbyterian Church Central College where we attended when we were younger, when I was younger anyways. And Jeff went to Fuller Seminary out in California. Very conservative, evangelical seminary. Got his doctorate in church growth, and that's how we started Northside. We started as a satellite ministry, and we morphed into a full congregation.
And while we were there, prayer was really the cornerstone. Well, that might be the wrong interpretation. Jesus was the cornerstone. And I will tell you that, and I will talk about the different forms of prayer this morning. But one of the most important, if we can categorize that in my opinion, is prayer of intercession, where we come together and pray for others, pray for God to intercede in events and encourage and occur. Never mind. Tammy loves intercessory prayer. We had some women down at Northside that loved intercessory prayer. I will be very, very, very honest with you. Oftentimes when I would participate in those long sessions of intercessory prayer, I felt like the disciples in the garden. Oh, are we done yet? The reason I wanted to use that illustration of Jesus in the garden, not only because it was crucial to the ministry of Jesus himself, but I think it's crucial to us as well. Because what we see is three separate times, Jesus goes away, he asks his disciples, stay here while I pray, you pray. Jesus comes back. They're out. First time, okay. Second time, guys, you're not quite catching on. He would like you to stay awake and pray with him. And the third time, again. But the thing that I want to share with us is the thing that stays vividly clear to me in that passage is there is one besides Jesus who doesn't sleep during that time. That's the enemy. The enemy had his plan set, and he was wide awake. And so as his disciples, it's warm and tired, it's late. Those are all the messages that God is trying to give us this morning. The world is becoming a threshold. The world is becoming the place where the enemy does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not move away from his task. And God is calling us through the purpose of prayer to be the ones that stand against the darkness. Prayer is God's invitation. God wants you and he wants me to come and talk to him. The God that created the expanse of space, anybody who spent any time watching the Artemis trip around the moon, whether that excites you or not, there is one that we worship that simply spoke all of that into existence. He is inviting you and me to come and speak to him and lay out our concerns and our problems. I know we all know somebody in our lives, maybe you're a fan of somebody or you are a baseball fan, and boy, if I could have only gone and talked to Babe Ruth or whoever. that person in your life that you would think, man, if I could just say hi to them, I would be of such great value. Much to Lynn's dismay, I'm a Steeler fan. Years and years and years ago, I was at the Columbus Airport, and I look over, and in a crevice, is standing out of sight, I look over and I say to myself, that can't be Lynn Swann. Look closer, that was indeed Lynn Swann. Now, I don't have to work very hard to be my mother's favorite, but I'm standing there thinking to myself, if I could interrupt Mr. Swann for just 1 second, ask him for a signature, I could take it home and I would be permanently the number one child in my family. I got the signature of the great Lynn Swann of the Pittsburgh Steelers of the heyday. And so I did. I walked over and I said, look, Mr. Swann, I'm terrible. This is not for me. Great opening line. It's for my mom. She would love to have. They've been Steeler fans for all of their lives. And so he signs an autograph. I was on cloud nine for a while, and that was Lynn Swann. And dare I say, that was only Lynn Swann. Creator of the universe is standing not in the corner, not in the shadows, but out in the open and inviting you to come and speak to him. Give me your problems, give me your concerns, give me your struggles, give me your darkness, give me the things that you struggle with, and I, the creator of all things, will take them upon myself and give you peace. And why does prayer matter so much? As we've said, and as we know, God knows everything. There's no surprises. There's no mysteries to God. He's all-seeing. He's all-knowing. But what prayer does is it doesn't change him. It changes us. When we pray, we have to first acknowledge our dependence on God. And when we acknowledge that dependence, our pride dies. It's easy to say this isn't about us, but how many of us always think it's about us? When my overdue bill comes in the mail, it's about me. It's about us. When a good friend or a loved one dies, it's about us. But yet, as we take those events and pass them through our spirit and place them at the foot of the cross, our humility dies. We gain God's perspective. Problems that seem giant shrink when we see them in the light of his greatness. You may not be able to speak it at this moment, but we all have seen miracles in our lives. We have prayed for something that we thought was impossible, and somehow the impossible became possible. We participate in God's work in the world. Prayer is how we join the mission of advancing his kingdom. As we prepare for 240 young people to descend on our small burg, we may be able to provide finances. We may be able to provide work. We might be able to pick up one of Brent's 61 ladders and help him deliver them. But what we all can do, and what God wants us to do, is pray. I've never met a ministry leader that is valued and who has spent any time in missions say to anybody, I would rather have your money than I would rather have your prayer.
all these things start with our prayer. Prayer has done things that nothing else could do. We've seen marriages restored through persistent intercession. We've seen addictions broken by cries of deliverance. That peace that surpasses all understanding settles on us in the middle of our grief. Boldness given to the timid believers to share the gospel. And the thing that we always have to remember, that none of these things happen because we were able to speak eloquently in our prayer. I think that is one of our biggest fears. I can't pray because I don't know what to say. If you start, if you try, if you take the steps, I promise you that God will lead you to the words that you are to speak. And even if he doesn't, he will see your heart. He will see your spirit and know that you're desiring to be with him in this time. Some of us might also say that during prayer we get distracted. ADHD was not a strong diagnosis when I was younger, but I swear at the age of 63 I would easily be diagnosed as ADD or ADHD. I can't focus on things. Tammy was hungry for some cookies, but she doesn't want all the cookies, so she made a half a batch of cookies, and she took two out for us, and she was to send the rest where they were surely they would be devoured. Usually when Tammy puts cookies to take to work, she puts them in a Ziploc bag, and I was up with her as she was getting ready to leave the other day. Tammy had set the cookies in a Tupperware type container on the table. Thursday night, we get up Friday morning. I'm watching the news. I cannot do two things literally at the same time. I'm focusing on the weather because, you know, you only get that about every 4 minutes on the news. So I got to be sure I get it while I'm sitting there. From what I understand, she sees cookies not in a Ziploc bag, but in a Tupperware container, and she says, "Oh, cookies." Now, she's only about 4 feet away from me when she says, "Oh, cookies." No idea she's speaking. She leaves. I get ready to go to work, and I see the cookies. Now, this is Friday. By the time she goes back to work on Monday, as I was thinking, cookies are going to be stale. So this is where I need some work. I need some help. So a good 45 minutes away, and I drive the cookies. It's 8:40. I'm sorry. The kids these days, you can't say 20 to 9, you have to say 8:40. So it's 8:40, I'm sitting, and I said, "Don't ask questions, just come outside, I've got your cookies." Said, "What?" And I give her the cookies. To which she says, "Well, I'm working Saturday, I could have brought them then." That really has nothing to do with prayer. It has more to do with, you might want to A, pay attention, and B, maybe ask a question or two before you drive an hour and a half round trip to drop off some cookies. We get distracted. Things in life happen, and they turn us from what we should be focused on. I was watching the weather instead of being focused on my daughter. It's normal for our minds to wander. It's normal for us to get caught in a fog sometimes. But God would ask that we turn these distractions into prayers. If we're distracted about something, don't focus on it. Give it to Him.
for him to deal with. I don't feel like praying. You know how much time that's going to take? Well, I've had prayers that lasted 15 seconds. I think I can spare 15 seconds for the glory of the King to take from me something that I'm struggling with, that I am having a problem with. Well, and that's probably where we start our prayer. There are those of us who struggle with feeling God doesn't want to hear me. And that's the enemy. That's the one who stays up and stays awake and puts these things in our minds that we're not worthy, that God doesn't want to waste his time, that you're insignificant and the things that you're going through are not of value to him. And that is the greatest of the lies that we will ever be told. Each one of us is the most important person to God. Amen. If we weren't, he wouldn't have died on the cross. We hear that hokey saying all the time, if you were the only person, God would have still gone to the cross. It's not hokey, it is the truth. And the enemy wants us to believe that we are not of value, and that is the greatest of the lies being told to us. So just quickly, I wanted to go through a list of the different types of prayers. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but these are the ones that I often think about when I think about prayer times and prayer and how we should pray and what we should be praying about. The first one is a prayer of adoration or praise. And this is where we pray expressing our love, our reverence and worship for God himself. No matter what category of prayer you are entering into, I believe this is the first step of every prayer that you are to say. Even if it's a 15 second, you have got to acknowledge his superiority and his love for you and your value that you find in him. Prayer of confession, acknowledging and repenting of our sins and seeking forgiveness. There was a fight that happened between our great leaders, John Wesley and his cohort, Mr. Calvin. And there was an argument between the two positions, one about salvation, the acknowledgement and the repenting of our sins and turning from our sins. And there's an idea of once saved, always saved versus that's baloney where you've got to go, look, I went to seminary. We can argue once saved, always saved, all of those ideas found in Scripture, but I will tell you that for the safety of my soul, I continually confess my sins before God. I will test and I will take the chance of standing before the Holy One and him saying to me, David, why did you have to tell me that over and over again? You went to seminary. Didn't you learn once saved, always saved? But I'm not going to risk it. So confession is good for us, acknowledging where we have fallen short and giving it back to God for his concern and him to take from us. The prayer of thanksgiving, the one that I think we are missing the most of in our world today, giving thanks for God's blessings and his actions. The world's on fire. The world's a mess. But in each and every day, I promise you, if you look hard enough, you will find something to be thankful for. When you do, lift that up to God as a nugget of something good that is in your life today, whether it's talking to a friend you haven't talked to for a while, looking at the flowers that are blooming. There's always something in God's beauty to give thanks. The prayer of supplication or petition, asking God for needs or helps for oneself. He wants to know what you need, where you're struggling, where you need your help. The prayer of intercession, as I spoke to earlier, praying on behalf of others. There's doctrinal prayers, prayers that we read in our hymnals. Corporate prayers, spontaneous prayers, unscripted personal praying out of our heart. And then there's the anointing and healing prayer. If you see up here, this is a bottle of anointing oil that came from Israel. That as we have the opportunity to heal for or pray for one's healing, we will use this oil to anoint. It's nothing special. But what it does is it sets the person aside. It sets us apart during that time of prayer. We are focused on something specific to be praying for. I'll conclude by just saying, nobody does this perfectly. Some people have done it for years and years and years. Tammy feels called to begin some type of prayer group. What that looks like, what that feels like, we don't know for sure. But there are those of us, and Tammy certainly being one of them, that feels the closest to God when she is engaged in prayer with Him. And as we look around our country, as we look around our county, as we look around our neighborhoods, we've got to be in prayer. The enemy is awake. The enemy is strong. The enemy is ready to pounce. And all we have to do is fall asleep. So this morning, as we close in prayer, I ask that we spend some time individually and ultimately corporately in prayer, because that's the only thing that will correct and invite Christ back into our society and back into our hearts and our souls. Will you please close with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I know even as one who has gone through seminary, I struggle with my ability to pray. I believe that it should sound a certain way and look a certain way and be a certain thing, and that is has nothing to do with you. You will take our prayers in whatever form, in whatever fashion, however it sounds, whether it's silent, whether we write our prayers down and speak them. All you want is that time, one-on-one with each one of us. Because even as we pray corporately, you're not sitting in the middle of the mass of people. You're sitting in front of each one of us as we have gathered corporately. I'll be honest with you, God, I'm scared for this country. I'm scared for this world. I'm scared for where we are going. And I am just calling on all of our churches, all of those who call themselves Christians. stand before you to bow our heads and ask for you to intercede in all of our issues and all of our problems. We invite you back to our schools. We invite you back to our churches. We invite you back to our governments in this country and across the world. God, we just ask for all of these things in your precious and your glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
Since you're talking about prayer, I'll have to mention what happened Wednesday night. Pastor Brent can relate to this. Last month's regional planning meeting had some heated discussion. So I said a prayer this past Wednesday for regional planning. And for those of you that don't know, there's a representative there from every township in the county. I know most of them. So I start my prayer, and without even thinking, I said, give us cool heads as we discuss the issues facing us tonight. When I got done praying, everybody had a big smile on their face. They go, I love that cool heads part. It just came to me. I just, like you said, I just started the prayer, and then things just flow from there on.
So we've sung about, oh, to be nearer to God, near to the heart of God, just a closer walk. This next one, walking with the King, talking with the King, we'll sing it a dozen times before we're through with the song, but that, to me, you sing hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. That right there is prayer. And the verses talk about what we have to look forward to if we could just pray.
Please stand.
I'm walking with the King, and I'm walking with the King.
His power in his prayer, walking and singing and talking with the King. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.